Dog Days listeners and Dog Days podcasters. This is Chuck Tomasi. And I got to tell you, after listening to all these podcasts, including my own at double speed, this, even my theme starts to sound slow after a while. It's kind of funny. I'm getting used to listening to everything at double speed, and then I want to slow it down and I want to hear, you know, one of Grant's songs or something. Like, whoa. I feel like it just went into the slow lane. But speaking of slow lanes, I'll get to that eventually. The eclipse today, just phenomenal. This is what we came for. It was threatening to be a little cloudy. There was a hazy cloud, and then it got a little thicker, made spotting a little bit difficult. We had everybody out with their glasses and some welding plates in cardboard boxes and telescopes with filters. It was a lot of fun. A lot of people. We even had some extra show up, some locals who came down, friends of Terry's family. It was a crap load of people. I'd say there probably were 30 or 40 people in her backyard at any one time. I made some short videos from setting up the telescope to doing a little report out by the highway, and everybody's heading north. And then afterwards, everybody was heading south, and they're still heading south. This is insane. I don't know where all these people are coming from, and I'm glad we're not trying to go home today, because everything is a big old mess out there on the road. And if you were traveling anywhere in the country from the path of totality to anywhere else, please drive safely. Of course, you probably already know that if you're already there. And if you're driving anywhere, returning from anywhere, please drive safely. I will attempt to do the same on Wednesday and Thursday as we return to Salt Lake City to drop off the girls for their flight home on Thursday. And, excuse me, on Wednesday, they fly Wednesday night? I don't know. That's why I have trip case and a wife. I don't have to remember all this stuff. My mind is free to explore other endeavors. But the getting back to the eclipse, the camera, the video, the CCD camera that I had bought worked fairly well. I did need to tweak some of the settings on the fly, and I tried to get myself accustomed to the menus and settings on both the LCD screen and on the camera, because there's two different things you got to adjust. Once I turned up the brightness on the LCD, it worked great. But then the video was a little blown out. I don't know if my filter is just weak. It looked great through the eyepiece. But when the camera got involved, it was all over the place. Anytime the sun would track off the screen, and yes, I did try to get my my clock drive engaged and at the right speed and aligned with the North Star and all this stuff with the help of my brother-in-law Robert. He did a great job, but regardless, for whatever reason, this telescope is not the highest of the high end. We had some discussions, and I think I know what my future direction is on telescopes. Should I invest in some of those? First is going to be one of those little hydrogen alpha cool jobs that you can just pull out and look at the sun any old time, look at prominences, look at sunspots. The second is I'm going to get a Newtonian, a nice big Newtonian that has a crisper, clearer image. It is a bit larger to handle. The same image from my 8-inch Schmidt Cassegrain, which is, I don't know, about 18 inches long, is more like 4.5 feet long on his. So it's a sharper image. We'll see. All in good time. I may invest in something smaller. Whatever I get, I definitely want a go-to scope where you just punch in coordinates or a feature on your phone and say, go find M51. It goes bzz, 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 and does it all for you. You don't have to go hunting around. Of course, that assumes you have it all perfectly aligned in the first place. So a lot of good stuff. The corona, when the moon completely covered the sun, and it's amazing how much light you can get out of the sun when it's mostly covered. I mean, we're talking 90-95%, and it still looks like a pretty decent day. It's crazy. Then that last flicker goes out, and poof! Hey, all of a sudden it's like night. It's very bizarre. And I took some videos, as I mentioned, at the begin, before, during, and after, to get the sense of what was going on. I recorded about 5 minutes before totality through the reappearance of the sun, and for another minute. So there's about a 7-minute segment. I'm going to stitch all those videos together along with a couple of the time lapse that I got from a guy who was here by the name of Trent? Tyler. Tyler was very kind to share some time lapses with me. A lot of photos going back and forth. This is a family get together. Had a great time. But I just can't get that image of the corona out of my mind. Even with that slight hazy cloud cover, it just made it more ethereal and more creepy. But it was so gorgeous. It's one of those things. I'm ranking it right up there with, oh my gosh, I can't believe I experienced this. You see it on TV, it's not the same. You see it in pictures, it's not the same. You see it with your own eyes, and it's awe-inspiring. It really is. I can understand why older civilizations got freaked out by this, because it is like nothing you've ever seen. It was just beyond belief, right up there. It's right up there on my top 10 list of coolest things I've ever experienced myself. One would be the Grand Canyon. Again, pictures don't do it justice. When you see it with your own eyes, it's wow. The other would be the rings of Saturn. First time you see that, it's like, oh my gosh, they're really there. It's pretty cool. And coincidentally, the first time I saw the rings of Saturn were on the same scope that I'm looking at. So it must have been 25 or 30 years ago when my parents were still in custody of this. The other would be not of sight, but hearing. First time I heard whale songs in Hawaii about 18 months ago. I was doing a little snorkeling and I took a surface dive and I thought it was my ears equalizing after the bubbles had gone out of the snorkel. And went, nope, that's a whale song. And I was so excited to hear that. Well, the corona of the sun is right up there. So I am already starting to think about plans for April 8th, 2024. If you can, hit a southern state because, you know, Michigan, Ohio, not sure exactly, Pennsylvania. I know it's going through that area. Not the best time of year to be looking in the sky. Early April, it's a hit and miss. Whereas if you go down to, say, Texas or Oklahoma or something in the springtime, it's usually a lot clearer. So nothing's guaranteed, but there's a better chance you'll see a better eclipse if you're in the southern states. So just you can still hear the cars going by, I think, in the background. This poor little highway is just car after car after car after car after car for the last, must be 5 hours or so, because I think maybe four. I think that they started. It's funny because the eclipse was, the totality was like 10:39 and 10:40 a.m. local time. And by 11, we were seeing cars piled down the highway. So it's been 6 hours. 6 hours. It just hasn't stopped. It's crazy. These poor bastards who live around here have to get out of their driveway. I know my brother-in-law, Robert, he had to go to work today. We were kind of joking around this morning. Then he almost slept through it. It was like 9 o'clock, and I got my scope all set up, and I asked Terry, I said, hey, is Robert going to be joining us? He'd be really PO'd if he missed it and then had to drive to work in this traffic. I know I would. That would be all this planning time and whatnot and hosting people, and to sleep through it would just be terrible. So I hope anybody else, I know Craig was witnessing, we were going back and forth with messages and pictures, having a lot of fun. There were some great sunspots out today on the sun. It was a very good experience. This is what we came for. It was so cool. I should note that last night when I was recording in that dark parking lot, about 10 p.m., I was walking back. And as I was out there thinking, you know, I wonder if somebody's going to see me. I wonder, what the heck is this weirdo doing? You know, I'm making a podcast. Well, there's a statement. Sure enough, after I got done recording, I was walking back, and I hadn't gotten halfway back when this car pulled off the highway into the parking lot. And I went, it's got to be the police. It's a good thing this didn't happen while I was reading the story or something earlier. It's got to be police. Sure enough, pulled up. Yep. The sheriff's truck. He says, how you doing? I said, doing all right. He says, where are you headed? I said, over to my sister-in-law's, just a few hundred feet ahead of me. He goes, all right. You feeling okay? I said, oh yeah, feel great. So I wasn't drunk or anything. I didn't even have anything to drink, but it was a lot of fun. And I figured something like that was going to happen. Good for them for keeping an eye out for the weirdos. They found one. Okay, today's DNC story is my mission on the Dog Days of Podcasting. This is a challenge of podcasters to partake 30 days or more of doing a podcast a day. And I am on day, glorious day 21, of course, because this is August 21st, eclipse day. And my reading has nothing to do with eclipse. The stories I have today are from 30 years ago when my wife and I were first getting to know each other. And I have, well, let's just say, this one's probably PG-13. Message number 5. I moved from the rambling subboard to whatever subboard 29 was. I don't know what it was at the time. May 28th, 1987, 9:32 Eastern Daylight Time. Subject, moved messages. And why I don't have my glasses on, I don't know. I'm making this harder on myself. So let me throw those on. By the way, while I'm doing this, having fun listening to everybody else's show on the Dog Days of Podcasting, thank you very much to all of you who continue to do this challenge. You are providing me with a challenge to listen to it all while I'm having these events. Okay, on with the message. I think most of the people have lost interest in the DNC story, so until I get tired of writing them, I will post them here just so Scott and I can read them. Here's the latest stuff. Sooner or later, it's bound to happen to every couple, and you know you're doing good in a relationship when you either run out of gas or the battery goes dead. Well, last night, Dee and I went parking out by a Train Falls to celebrate our 7-week anniversary. We shared passionate. We shared a passionate moment together and then decided it was time to get going. We had planned to get home, quote, early, since she got home at 2 a.m. the past two evenings. We finally decided at 11:30 it was a good time to stop the party and move out. Well, Dee put the key in the ignition, and the engine didn't turn over. Not even a click. We had the radio running the whole time, of course. Quote, it could be worse, I kept saying. The weather was nice, the stars were out, and we were only about 3 miles from Dee's house. We walked back along M94 and I got my car. I now know the stretch of M94 from Forest Lake Road to Dee's house like the back of my hand, or the back of Dee's hand. We drove my car back and jump-started Dee's car. Everything went fine. I followed her home and said goodnight, which is about a 20-minute process in our case. I finally got home at 1:30, which was about an hour and a half earlier than I had been. I got a good night's rest and woke up feeling great. I had been pretty sick the last few days and wasn't thinking about too much with a lot on my mind. That didn't make too much sense, but it doesn't have to when you're in love. I feel like something special happened last night, but I can't figure out what. I guess Penguin was right. Sometimes the best times are when you just talk. We did a little more than just talk, but the content of the conversation was very intimate and made me feel good. We talked about things I never thought I would talk about with a girlfriend before. It just goes to show how compatible we are with each other. So much so that we can talk to each other as best friends and not hold anything back. Like my mom said, you need a friend, then you need a lover. With Dee, I got both, and I am very happy. And I am still very happy. She is doing an awesome job. She finished up all the edits to Podcasting for Dummies. Timor has got 17, 18, and 19 to us. She reviewed them, looked them over, and sent them to me, whom I will send to Colleen, our editor, tonight. I must do that because the due date is originally today. She, quote-unquote, gave us a free day and said, oh, just get them to me on Tuesday. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I do know that I have a few minutes, like right now, before everybody gets out of the swimming hole. They're down at the river. There's a little little creek that goes by the house, which has a nice swimming pool in the swimming hole as the river takes a gooseneck. And a lot of people down there having fun getting cooled off because it is quite warm. Cooled down nicely for the eclipse, but it is quite warm now. All right, that's 15 minutes. My 10 minutes is somehow stretched into 15. I apologize. I will try to keep these shorter. But hey, eclipse. Thanks. Have fun. Take care. And I need an ending. Oh, if it weren't for you, this podcast would die a horrible, putrid, stench-filled eclipse death. Take care.